David Darren's top five things, a review of the very best of the very best. Consider that, won't you, friends? We're already the best show, and we're condensing what is the best morning show into its very best elements. It's almost too much, really. I would recommend spacing these things out. Don't listen to the entire podcast at once. There could be traumatic side effects.
Too much.
My name is Dave, and this is my partner, Darren. Hello, Darren.
Hello. The podcast is brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. Their goal is to fully understand their clients' needs physically, mentally, and emotionally, because they know it is not easy to live with a chronic illness. Their experienced wellness consultants, they'll sit down with you and discuss what options work best to make you feel more comfortable. Frequently asked questions are answered, and you can see all of that if you go to the website. That is ntillinois.com.
Raji!
Well, let's get into it. Here are the top five things that happened on our morning show, which you can hear live on Planet 93.9. Here is the first of the top five things. We call it
number one.
Number one.
One.
Number one.
I have some good news.
I'll take it.
The Peanuts are returning to regular broadcast television. We went Halloween without the Great Pumpkin, unless you have Apple TV, which I do. And can I tell you this, just as a quick aside, everyone's been telling me I need to watch this Ted Lasso show, which is a Jason Sudeikis comedy. He is the coach of the Wichita State Shockers football team, leads them to a Division II championship, and is hired then to take over a premier football team, which is soccer, over in England.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that he knows nothing about soccer. And they're not happy that he's their coach. And everyone said, you got to watch this. It's great. And I can tell you, having watched the first two episodes, it really is terrific.
Okay.
So if you have Apple TV, that's something worth checking out. You get a real kick out of it. Jason Sudeikis always makes me laugh. And he's really, it's interesting because it's weird having a comedy where the main character's not some sort of jerk. Like, he's a genuinely nice guy.
So he's trying.
And you root for him. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. But he knows nothing about soccer, which is kind of hilarious.
And Wichita State is Division II, huh?
That's like, what they were saying in the...
I guess maybe they would be in football, although I don't think that's right. So right off the bat, I think their premise is wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
I think
at the very least that they would be an FBS school, right? Or a Division I, 1A. Maybe not. I wouldn't think they'd be Division II.
The Wichita State football team, the Shockers, who, by the way, have never won a bowl game. They're 0-3 in the bowls. So if they're going to bowls, then
I know their basketball team would be Division I.
Yeah,
but there could be a different
different
situation in football.
Wichita State has won 14 different conference titles. They play in the Missouri Valley Conference. So what would that make them? They play against
typically Division I.
Well, like, is Drake a Division I school?
Yes.
Well, then I don't know what to tell you. Why do you got to ruin everything that I like?
Or at least Drake is at least Division 1A.
Oh, wait. Okay,
Division 1A.
Wait a minute. The Shockers left the Missouri Valley in 1985, I'm now being told.
Okay.
So the premise is that they're not a top-tier school.
Right.
They are, they moved to the American Athletic Conference in 2017. So that would mean they compete in the football bowls subdivision, the FBS, as you mentioned.
Yes.
So that used to be 1A. Do they call that? Is there a Division II?
Yes.
So give me an example of a Division II football school.
A Division II, like Upper Iowa.
Okay.
That's a Division II school.
Okay.
I believe Quincy College is Division II.
Okay.
That sort of thing.
All right. My point is that the Charlie Brown specials are coming
that's
back.
Right.
I just wanted to mention that I really like the Ted Lasso.
Oh, that's where we went.
Yeah, no, it's a good show. It's worth watching.
I don't have Apple TV.
There's a scene where there's a groundskeeper whose name is Nathan. The whole thing takes place in England. And again, he knows nothing about soccer, and he's got a...
Well, at least he can speak the language.
There's that, but there's also all kinds of problems with that. Where, like, the groundskeeper's this kid named Nathan. And he's like, oh, what's your name? And Nathan's like, no, no one's ever asked me my name. It's like, my name is Nathan. He goes, oh, Nathan, huh? I like your hot dogs. And the kid starts laughing. And he's like, do they even have Nathan's hot dogs over here? And the kid's like, no, I don't understand what you're referring. I don't get the joke.
Yeah, what's the reference?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Where it's just, there's moments where it's like, oh, okay. It's clever, and he's somebody that you root for.
But he has a broken heart because he just broke up with Olivia Wilde.
Well, he does have a broken heart. Yes, that is a big part of it. He did just get divorced in the show, so.
But I mean in real life.
That's true.
Although I don't know if they were married.
They weren't. They were engaged. Some people do that. They get engaged and they never get married.
Did they have children?
Yeah, I think they have two kids. Mm. Why are you talking like Jiminy Glick now? Did they have children? And why are the Jason Sudeikis couldn't
What
make
were
it
the
work?
Names of the children?
You really want me to find out?
No.
I'm going to guess like Zeppo and...
Matthew and Modine.
Famous people tend to have weird names for kids. I'm going to guess it was... the kids' names are Zeppo and Footfoot. I don't know. They will continue to co-parent. God bless them. Started dating in 2011. Okay, their son is Otis... And their daughter is Daisy. Well, those are perfectly wonderful names. Wonderful. And Morgan Mason Matthew if and you
live, if you live in Mayberry.
Damn straight! The Great Pumpkin was not on broadcast television for the first time ever, but the people at Apple have cut a deal with a television network. Of course, Charlie Brown, when we were kids, was on Channel 4, WHBF, and then it moved to WQAD, Channel 8, I think sometime in the 90s, right? Well, now, the Peanuts specials will be broadcast on PBS. The Charlie Brown Thanksgiving and the Charlie Brown Christmas will return to the air. Apple TV Plus is the home for the Peanuts holiday specials, but people were very upset that they weren't able to tune in on regular network TV and see the Peanuts. And Apple said, listen, we'll stream them for free for a couple of days. Download our app and you can watch it whenever you want for free. People still weren't happy with that.
What's the Thanksgiving special?
All I remember is they're eating popcorn.
So they're the Great Turkey?
I think like Charlie Brown has to make toast. And another one of the kids makes popcorn. I remember watching it as a kid because, listen, when we were growing up, if there was a cartoon on at night, it required your attention. But I don't really remember what the premise was of a Peanuts Thanksgiving. There isn't a Great Turkey. I don't think that's the premise.
Wait,
the kids all have like a Thanksgiving together for some reason. Because
their parents couldn't put it together? They couldn't get their...
I think that's right.
Couldn't put aside their differences so the kids will have their own Thanksgiving?
Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, the 10th primetime animated special, originally aired on the CBS November 20th, 1973. And up until last year, it aired on CBS and then ABC. So a Charlie Brown Christmas and the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving will be on PBS. The plot of a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. The special opens with Lucy once again enticing Charlie Brown to kick a football she's holding.
Well, it is football season.
Which ends up with Charlie Brown missing the ball and landing flat on his back again.
With a concussion.
Later.
He is concussed throughout the whole special.
You know,
he's in concussion protocol during the entire cartoon.
I hit my head real bad.
Bad.
And now I think my dog is a World War I flying ace.
I don't even have the padding of hair.
Charlie, you don't have a dog.
How
many times have you gotten your bell rung? Is Snoopy in the room with us right now, Charlie Brown? Later, Charlie Brown and Sally, that's his sister, right? They're preparing to go to their grandmother's for Thanksgiving dinner when Charlie Brown gets a call from Peppermint Patty, who invites herself over to Charlie Brown's house for Thanksgiving. Two quick subsequent phone calls from Peppermint Patty and Marcy and Franklin, they get added to the guest list. And since Charlie Brown cannot get a word in edgewise with Patty, he quickly finds himself in a quandary with no easy solution. At least not until Linus shows up. Linus suggests to Charlie Brown that he could have two Thanksgiving dinners. The first one can be for himself, Peppermint Patty, and her friends, and then the second one could be at his grandmother's house for his family. Charlie Brown says he cannot make a Thanksgiving dinner. He says all he knows how to make is cold cereal and maybe toast. Regardless, Linus recruits Snoopy and Woodstock to help. The guests arrive and make their way to the backyard for the Thanksgiving feast. Linus leads the group in prayer that details the first Thanksgiving in 1621, and then Snoopy serves up the feast, which includes buttered toast, pretzel sticks, popcorn, jelly beans, and an ice cream sundae. Peppermint Patty's initial shock at the unconventional Thanksgiving feast quickly turns to outrage.
And she shoots up the place.
And she loudly berates Charlie Brown. He timidly leaves the table. You invite yourself over to this guy's house.
And you bring nothing.
For a Thanksgiving dinner. Well, then when it's not up to your Peppermint Patty standards, you can't even be bothered to wear closed-toe shoes to the meal, Peppermint Patty.
You don't even bring a dish to pass.
Charlie Brown timidly leaves the table. Patty's tirade continues.
Still concussed.
Until Marcy quietly reminds her that she invited herself along with Marcy and Franklin.
Yeah.
Coming to her senses, Patty asks Marcy to apologize to Charlie Brown on her behalf.
I can't do it. I won't.
Marcy reluctantly agrees, but Patty soon follows and apologizes to Charlie Brown herself. Following this, Charlie Brown is reminded that he and Sally are due at their grandmother's house for dinner. So he calls Grandma and explains the situation. When he mentions his friends are there and that they have not yet eaten, his grandmother invites them all to Thanksgiving dinner, which is welcomed with cheers from everyone. These kids don't have places to be on Thanksgiving? After the kids leave singing, Snoopy and Woodstock go to the doghouse and cook up their own traditional Thanksgiving meal. They then pull the wishbone, which Woodstock wins. Over the end credits, Snoopy and Woodstock devour a large piece of pumpkin pie and then sit back with contented smiles as Woodstock pats his full stomach.
What do you mean they leave singing? What is this, the Manson family?
If my memory serves, and it's been a long time since I've watched the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, I think they sing Over the River and Through the Woods to Grandmother's House We Go.
Sounds like a cult to me.
Which I think is the only Thanksgiving song, right? Thanksgiving just has that song. I think Jingle Bells is a Thanksgiving song too, technically.
Huh.
Those are the only two Thanksgiving songs.
That's the nice thing about Thanksgiving. It doesn't have music.
But, like, if my kid right now, who's about Charlie Brown's age,
yeah,
were to just go to somebody else's house for Thanksgiving and then just get in a car and then go off to their grandma's house, like, how is that okay? Just is everyone in that neighborhood absentee parents?
Did you see the story, and maybe this is something you're going to be getting to a little bit later.
What's that?
Did you see the story of the 14-year-old kid and his 11-year-old girlfriend from New York that got stopped in Council Bluffs driving his parents' van?
No.
Yeah.
He's 14 and the girlfriend's 11?
11-year-old girlfriend.
And this is a stolen car.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, this is in a gray Toyota minivan. So they must have driven through here, right? If they came from New York. Cops pulled him over. He was doing 94 miles an hour. Holy cow.
All the way from New York.
New York teen stole his dad's minivan to
barely
run away.
Barely a teen.
Ran away with his 11-year-old girlfriend. Busted in Council Bluffs after traveling 1,200 miles. Kevin Figueros caught speeding several states away in Council Bluffs. Jeez Louise. His young girlfriend, Amaya Argelis, was also in tow. Figueroa was reported missing after he was last spotted at his home on Thursday morning. So this was last week then. His girlfriend last seen at her home at 9 o'clock that night. They headed west in a gray Toyota minivan. It was the kid's dad's. Yeah, they drove right through here, didn't they? Look at that. I'm looking at the map. They took I-80 all the way to Council Bluffs. Cops there say they clocked this 14-year-old kid doing 94 miles an hour in a 65-mile-per-hour zone. And they pulled him over on Saturday at like 12:30 in the afternoon.
Well, I hope they gave the station a try.
These speedy lovebirds taken to Council Bluffs Juvenile Detention Center and their parents were notified.
A combined age of 25.
Oh, wow.
What?
That's crazy. That's, wow. I had not heard that one.
Big hurry to get to Council Bluffs, I guess. A new beginning in Council Bluffs.
Well, I'm guessing they were just driving through.
Okay.
I can't imagine.
You don't think that was the
destination? I can't imagine it's any Brooklyn 14-year-old's dream to live in Council Bluffs.
You never know.
94 miles an hour is about the speed you should drive through Council Bluffs. That's the one thing this kid did that I can get on board with.
Number two.
Streaming TV news, The Mandalorian. That's the show that I enjoy so well on Disney Plus. It's really the only thing I watch on Disney Plus, although they have every Simpsons episode ever. So I guess I've watched The Simpsons and The Mandalorian, and that's it. That's the end of the things that I've ever watched on Disney Plus.
Isn't that enough?
It is enough. New statistics here show the viewing figures show that Mandalorian is 5 times more popular than anything else that's available on Disney Plus. It has 5 times more viewers than anything else on that streaming platform. The Mandalorian. Huge.
You've got yourself a hit.
Yeah. Although you probably are going to need a couple other things, because before too much longer, this Mandalorian will be done. Season 2 will be done, and then what do you do? I don't know. Wonder Woman, the Wonder Woman 1984, this was a sequel that was supposed to be the big box office hit of the summer. They've announced now that they will be releasing that in theaters on Christmas, and also they'll be releasing it on HBO Max. The sequel to the 2017 blockbuster Wonder Woman that earned $828 million at the worldwide box office. This has been the movie that they just keep delaying it and delaying it and delaying it. And now they've announced that it will open in whatever cinemas happen to be open on Christmas. But they will also stream it on HBO Max for 1 month beginning on Christmas Day. So you'll have a month to watch it on HBO Max. The director is Patty Jenkins. She did the original one. She's urging audiences to go and watch the movie in theaters where it's safe to do so, and then watch it at HBO Max if it's not safe to go out to the theater.
But somebody, somehow, some way, watch this damn film.
HBO Max is $16 a month? Oh, that's a hard no. No thanks. I'm interested in seeing this Wonder Woman 1984. It looks great. But you know who's not thrilled about this news? If you're a theater, and this is the movie you've been waiting all year to come out, right?
Mm-hmm.
To get butts in the seats.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also putting it out on a streaming platform the same day.
Right.
That's not great news for theaters.
Except if you go to the theater, you pay the $16 just once, and you get to see it.
Yeah.
As opposed to having to pay $16 each and every month.
Well, but you could pay $16 and have a month's worth of content. You don't have to pay for, you know, you can just do 1 month and
sounds
quit.
To me like you're talking yourself into HBO Max.
Well, as much as I'd like to see Wonder Woman 1984, there's a finite number of hoops I'm willing to jump through to see movies anymore.
And I tend to think that I will just let Mike Schultz watch the movies and tell me how good or bad they were.
Well, you know, he's going to be joining us a little bit later on in the show today, so that's not bad. We'll see what he says about it when we're back after Christmas break. theater chains under, you know, normal circumstances would never allow a major studio, a tentpole movie like this, to debut at home at the same time that it's in theaters. But the Hollywood Reporter says here, quote, in this case, all bets are off. Cinema owners have plenty of goodwill toward Warner Brothers after the studio stuck to a late summer release date for Christopher Nolan's tentpole Tenet, despite challenges facing the box office amid the novel coronavirus pandemic. Wonder Woman 1984. Release date's been delayed several times. It was supposed to open in June. And then the most recent plan was for it to be in theaters for Christmas. Well, now it'll still be in theaters, but also, if you have HBO Max, you can watch it at home.
So, Wonder Woman, and it takes place in 1984.
I believe that's the case, yes.
And everyone's wearing London fog.
I think that's right.
Yes. Oh, what a wonderful time it was.
I think, now, do you remember any of the Wonder Woman villains? Like, who does Wonder... Batman has the Joker, right? Superman has Lex Luthor. Who's Wonder Woman's arch nemesis?
Are they women as well?
Well, there's the only one I can remember is from the Super Friends cartoon. And that was Cheetah. And I believe Kristen Wiig is playing Cheetah. She's a woman who's also a cheetah.
Nice. That's a good look.
It's not bad. I don't think that the Kristen Wiig character has a lot in common with the cartoon that I remember, but we'll see, I guess, once this thing is out. Is Cheetah her main, her arch nemesis?
Man, you are asking the wrong guy.
You didn't watch a lot of Wonder Woman? Yeah. Cheetah is, in fact, her arch nemesis. And then, like, every superhero has their arch nemesis in that universe, right? Like, Aquaman has the Black Manta. Green Lantern has Sinestro.
Now, what is Cheetah's superpower?
She runs really fast.
What about cheating?
Is she's not a cheater, no.
World-class cheat.
No, that's not.
Hey, you sold me tickets to an event that already happened.
Here are some of her...
Wonder Woman, would you like to play a board game? I would, but you always cheat.
Hey, did you take $800 for pass and go? No. Let's see, some of her...
Always has an ace up her sleeve.
See, yeah, Wonder Woman's enemies are, I don't know, this feels like they're phoning some of these things in. She went after a villain called the Blue Snowman.
It's better than the Yellow Snowman. Those damn kids.
Well, at least I...
Those neighborhood kids!
At least I understand Yellow Snowman's backstory pretty quickly.
Uh-huh.
And why he wants to destroy the world. Blue Snowman. With the... Bryna Brilliant is a small-town teacher and scientist who uses her late father's invention of blue snow for self-gain. Bryna disguises herself and unleashes the petrifying power of blue snow upon a farming community, demanding each farmer's life savings in return for the chemical antidote that will free the crops.
So her nemesis is a snow cone?
That seems...
This is delicious. You're delicious, Blue Snowman.
Other
yes,
enemies.
Yes, I'm raspberry flavored.
Other Wonder Woman enemies. Mouse Man.
Mouse Man?
Mouse Man. Permanently reduced to a height of about 6 inches through chemical experiments, Mouse Man uses his small size and his ability to control mice to stage elaborate crimes.
He's the size of mice?
Yes. And he uses that to his advantage. She also went up against the Crimson Centipede, a super powerful entity, foil for Wonder Woman. The Crimson Centipede would stage burglaries to fund widespread criminal enterprises. How about Egg Foo?
These are great.
Egg Foo was one of her enemies. A large Chinese communist egg. It's seriously an egg.
Uh-huh.
A large Chinese communist egg who recently reappeared working with Superman's arch nemesis, Bruno Mannheim. The Egg Foo controlled large armies in communist China to try and destroy the American way of life. He uses his mustache as a weapon. Look at Egg Foo. It's just a giant egg.
And I remember years ago, years back in the day when I was Egg Foo young. Those are great.
Wonder Woman also went up against Inversion, the Inside Out Man. Inversion was a scientist trying to
invent Skeletor.
trying to invent a teleporter, but was horribly disfigured with his organs twisted to the outside of the body after testing the teleporter on himself.
Yeah, that's not the best.
Mad, he attempted to force Wonder Woman to adapt the Justice League's satellite teleporter system to inflict the same fate on the rest of the world. So that his...
Pretty gruesome.
His superpower is that his stomach is on the outside of his body? It seems...
Sounds more like a hindrance than a superpower. Susceptible to infection.
Yeah, get that looked at. The Vulture King. The Gentleman Killer. King Blotto. I mean, obviously, she's been around for decades, so she's got quite a few different...
Very imaginative nemesises.
Yeah. Dr. Domino. The Dark Commander. Rockface. I'm guessing that's just a guy who has a rock for a face. They really kind of phoned these in.
I don't know. Pretty inventive.
Egg Foo. The Communist Chinese Egg. That's... Maybe that's who they get for number three. I would watch a movie where she goes up against Mouse Man. Make that happen.
He doesn't have any mouse qualities. He's just mouse size.
Right. Permanently reduced to a height of 6 inches through chemical experiments. He uses his small size and his ability to control mice.
Although 6 inches, elaborate that's crimes. That's a big mouse.
Well, that's why the mice listen to him. If he was the size of a mouse, they'd be like, we don't have to listen to you.
You're a mouse man.
Yeah, mouse man. It's none of our business.
You got nothing on us.
Number three.
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 Coming into work today on 80, the Iowa Department of Transportation sign wasn't on. The sign that usually alerts you to, road hazards also has really, funny sayings sometimes. To get you to remember to, slow down or don't text or wear a seatbelt. There was one the other day, all the leaves are brown and the sky is gray. Don't text and drive.
All you mamas and papas.
I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure what they were going for there.
Uh-huh.
We got to come up with something quick. I feel like they've been phoning it in lately. And there's a lot of...
You think everyone's phoning it in.
I do. I do, because the Iowa Department of Transportation, those signs for a while, it was just great material. And now it feels like there's not the effort being put into it that there used to be.
Whatever happened to the billboards that confused you? Are those still around?
The billboards that confused me remind me of that.
What was it? It was just like pictures of things, right?
Oh, right, right. That was the Don't Text and Drive campaign where they had people getting a shave and then... A car crash, and we were supposed to put together that it's okay to text while you're getting your hair cut, but not while you're driving. But they didn't really spell that out.
Although I don't know that you should be texting while you're getting a haircut.
No, that seems incredibly rude.
Well, and you should be paying attention to what they're doing to your hair.
Right, right.
It's like, what did you do? I thought you'd like it. You were so busy texting that
now you got something to text about.
Now you've got something to text somebody about. I just got the world's worst haircut.
Take a selfie of your hair.
Take a selfie of it. Take a picture of it, and then send it to the people that you're so enthralled texting.
Right? Rather than making small talk with me and treating me like a human being, right. You're on your damn phone.
Right.
Now you can go ahead and take a selfie of yourself and let them know who did it to
you. I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. You're not going to need a haircut for a while.
Don't come back here. You're banned, sir, from this barbershop. Up in Canada, the signs are now warning people. You know, the signs that say accident ahead or those sort of things. The mobile signs in Canada. This is in Jasper, Alberta. Over the weekend, a bunch of people took a picture of this. It's, again, from their, whatever their Department of Transportation is in Canada, in Alberta. The sign warns drivers, quote, do not let moose lick your car. Do not let moose.
Is that somebody's nickname?
No, they mean actual moose.
Oh, an actual moose.
Mm-hmm. This is a part of Canada where moose are frequently seen during the winter months. And now they've had to warn drivers, do not, under any circumstances, let moose lick your car.
And the moose wants to lick your car because it's salty?
You put it together.
Yeah, see, yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, and this is a problem because people get a kick out of a moose coming over and licking their car.
But this is not the sort of salt that any moose should be licking.
No, it's. I don't think the problem is the salt. I think the problem is moose shouldn't be getting so comfortable that they come up to your car and start licking it. I think that's what the issue is. The moose population in this part of Canada has grown in recent years, and that's because there's been a decline in the wolf population.
Moose licks squirrel. Rocky and Bullwinkle, After Hours.
But that trick never works!
Oh, it worked twice last night.
Consider yourself zing.
The zing of the day.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Again?
Yeah, again.
Nothing up my sleeve.
Yeah.
Presto.
Let me knock back a Gatorade and darn right again.
And now here's something I hope I'll really like.
Oh, you will.
So the moose population is booming up there because the wolf population's had a decline. I guess I didn't realize that wolves and moose were natural enemies. So there have been more and more interactions between humans and moose, and that is leading to some people feeding the moose and drawing them towards roads, which isn't great. You know, the damage a deer does on your vehicle here in the Quad Cities.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be
only imagine a moose.
A moose. It's also, by the way, against the law. You can't feed moose up there. You could get a fine of $25,000. But yeah, these moose are enjoying the salt that's on your car. The moose love the taste of road salt. And they know now, they've learned that if you go up to a car, it tastes like salt. So
yeah. Moose, they're big. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was what they would call a big person back in the day.
Right.
I don't know if they do it anymore, but move, you big moose.
Yeah, right.
The kid on the football team, the big kid on the football team,
right.
Back in the 50s. What was he called? Moose.
Which of the lower 48 states do you think has the most moose?
I believe the plural is mice.
No, that's mises.
Let's go with...
Which state in the lower 48 has the most? I mean, obviously, Alaska probably has the most moose. It's the biggest state, and of course, moose live there. But where would you say in the lower 48 the most moose currently live?
Let's go with Wyoming.
an excellent guess, but the answer is Maine.
Huh.
Yeah, they
got... The other side of the country.
Yeah, well, I mean, in Maine is
yeah
practically Canada, right, isn't it?
Essentially.
Yeah, right. Moose love to lick salt off cars, and there are now warnings saying, don't let that happen. I wouldn't mind seeing that coming into work. Just a warning that says, don't let moose lick your car. How big can a moose get? I mean...
World's biggest moose.
Yeah. Is that a new show
you're... Following here? World's wettest dog.
They can get between... Oh, gosh, there are some
they're giants.
Yeah, these things are like 1,500 pounds.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to hit that.
No, thanks. No, there's the eastern moose, there's the western moose, and there's the Alaskan moose. Those are the moose that we tend to deal with here. 1,500 pounds, they can get up to 5.5 feet. And they can get anywhere from 840 to 1,600 pounds. No thanks.
It's a lot of moose meat.
Yeah. You ever had moose meat?
I don't know that I have.
Hmm. Again?
Yeah, again.
Fair's fair, Ruck.
Yeah.
Now it's your turn.
But that trick never works.
Right. I don't know where to start. Oh, me so horny.
All right. Number four. This seemed like a good idea at the time. Chinese man sold one of his kidneys so he could buy an iPhone.
Now, isn't that part of the CBS Monday night lineup?
I think he lost his kidney for a different reason.
Oh, okay.
A young man in China, this was back in 2011. He had a kidney removed so he could buy an iPhone 4 and an iPad 2.
Oh, but the thing about it is there's going to be an iPhone 5 and an iPad 3.
Yeah, in a couple of months.
And it just never ends.
Wang Shengkun was 17 years old in 2011. And Wang, now in 2020, is bedridden and attached to a dialysis machine after suffering renal deficiency. A few months after undergoing surgery, he developed an infection in the kidney that he had remaining, and then that kidney failed.
I thought you had to be 18 to sell your kidneys.
Well, this is in China. I think they can make exceptions if they need to there. His health started deteriorating. At one point, it became so severe that he was unable to get out of bed. So he has to, every day, hook up to a dialysis machine to clear his blood of toxins.
Is there an app for that?
Yeah, it's called your kidney, and God put two of them in your body, Wang. Owning to his desperation, he says he made the deal, underwent an illegal surgery to sell one of these kidneys. He thought, I only need one. I don't need a second kidney. One's enough.
Now, who told you you need one? Again, are you watching CBS's Be Positive?
I don't think because they get that in the Wuhan province where this cat lives.
People need to stop. We need to stop telling people that you only need one kidney.
The operation took place without the consent of his parents.
There you go.
Performed by two doctors at local hospitals. Police have arrested 9 people in connection with this case. They've also arrested the surgeons who carried out the operation. Wang's family got compensation of about $3,000 the year the case happened.
What if you're the person who has the kidney?
Yeah, do they go after you?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly. They're coming after you next.
Well, I mean, I got a kidney, but now I'm in jail, so there's that. He bought the new iPhone so he could show it off to his friends.
That's important.
Yeah, I guess that is important, but also important, having a functioning kidney. Because that's the thing. You have two kidneys. If something goes wrong with one kidney, you're in a much better shape when you have the two. My guess is that whoever designed the body, there was a good reason for them to put two in there.
Typically.
Right?
Typically.
It's not a placeholder for something they didn't get around to putting something else in for. You probably do need two kidneys.
That's what I would suggest to people.
Right.
That's the advice I would give.
Now, if you are going to donate a kidney to a loved one, I understand that. But to do it so you can get an iPad in 2011, you know how...
And an iPhone.
Well, yes, the iPhone 4. What is the latest iPhone? Like 11, 12? What are we at right now? Because this was 9 years ago. Not the best idea.
Number five.
Well, we're talking about Jimmy things. Jimmy Dean in the news this morning. Jimmy Dean sausage.
Maybe you've heard of it.
Perhaps you're familiar with it. Jimmy Dean offering sausage-scented wrapping paper this year. Wrapping paper that smells like Jimmy Dean sausage. Are you intrigued?
Okay, now again, it smells like Jimmy Dean sausage or it smells like Jimmy Dean?
Yes, the answer is yes. On both counts. You don't think he reeked of the sausage?
This is what I smelled like during the filming of Diamonds Are Forever.
Sausage scenting wrapping paper. They've sold out. The only way that you can get it now is...
We didn't make a lot.
...is through their recipe gift exchange program.
What does that mean?
Well, Jimmy Dean sausage announcing, holiday get-togethers will look different this year, with 74% of Americans planning to gather in smaller groups or go completely remote. 72% of us will turn to cooking and food as a way to feel connected with loved ones. So Jimmy Dean brand is helping people continue to rejoice and get in the festive spirit with the return of their annual Jimmy Dean Recipe Gift Exchange. This is the third year for the Jimmy Dean Recipe Gift Exchange, inviting you to make your favorite holiday recipe using Jimmy Dean premium pork sausage. Take a photo of the finished dish and submit it in exchange for one of six sausage-themed gifts. I use Jimmy Dean sausage in my stuffing. I might be doing this.
So everybody gets a gift? Or just there's only a few gifts that they give, but you have to show what you've made.
Are the chances? Show your work.
What are the chances that I get something?
The director of marketing for Jimmy Dean sausage is Scott Glenn, and he says, quote, "We know people will turn to their traditional favorite recipes and dishes to ring in the holiday season with friends and family, whether celebrating together or apart. We're honored that our sausage is a holiday staple for many and are excited for the opportunity to bring a little joy to our fans with the return of the recipe gift exchange and unique sausage-themed gifts. This year's items available through the recipe gift exchange. Sure to delight. And there are some previous fan favorites, including the sausage-scented wrapping paper. It's back, it says here, to turn any gift into a delicious one. Whether it's used to wrap gifts or tease the family dog, this wrapping paper..."
Yeah, that's a great idea. Wrap everything in the Jimmy Dean sausage-scented wrapping paper and go to bed and see what you find in the next morning. Ripped to shreds.
This wrapping paper's scrumptious scent will fill anyone's head with delectable daydreams. They're also offering something they call the Jig Sausage Puzzle. It's a tastiest looking puzzle in town, featuring a delicious close-up of Jimmy Dean's signature seasoned sausage. No better way to spend the colder months indoors than drooling over every puzzle piece.
So the puzzle is sausage-scented too, huh?
Sausage buds.
Yeah, I was almost done with that puzzle until the dog ate it. Now we got to go get the dog's stomach pumped.
The dog ate my Jig sausage puzzle. Golden earbuds, sausage buds. They say golden earbuds will make any at-home meeting, study session, or workout quite savory.
So it looks like your earbuds look like you've stuffed sausage in your ears?
featuring stems shaped just like the delicious fresh roll sausage.
Now that's a good look. If you'd really like to be taken seriously on your next Zoom call, make sure that the stems that are sticking out of your ears looks like a Jimmy Dean regular sausage, or perhaps they're Jimmy Dean hot sausage, the Jimmy Dean sage sausage, the Jimmy Dean all natural sausage, the Jimmy Dean country mild, the Jimmy Dean Italian, or the Jimmy Dean maple.
They're also offering sausage mint bark, Jimmy Dean adding joy with a new take on the classic peppermint bark, delicious sausage candy sits atop this white chocolate peppermint bark with a dark chocolate base, and it all comes in a collectible tin. There's also the glass sausage ornament, a Jimmy Dean signature seasoned sausage roll that's a mouth-blown glass ornament, kind of like that pickle you got my family a couple years ago. But it's sausage roll.
But that's what you hang on the tree?
Oh, yeah, we do the pickle every year.
No, I'm talking about you hang the sausage on
I don't
tree.
Have that.
But they do.
Oh, yes. And finally, they're offering something called...
Jimmy Dean demanded, it was his last request. He demanded that the sausage be mouth-blown.
Again? That trick never works.
Make sure that it's mouth-blown glass.
Those were his final
words before he dropped. Whatever. If we're going to do that sausage Christmas ornament, I was thinking about this.
Yes, Mr. Dean. We're here, Mr. Dean.
See the great sausage in the sky.
Head towards it, Mr. Dean.
I was just thinking.
Your work here is done, Mr. Dean.
What we really need to do with that ornament. Promise me this. Make sure that it's mouth-blown glass.
Oh, thank you! Thank you!
Finally, they're offering the sausage patty sled. Heads are sure to turn with the inflatable sled that's not only shaped like a Jimmy Dean sausage patty, it also looks like one. This one-of-a-kind sled will have everyone wishing for a snow day.
My God, it must be impossible to get a job at Jimmy Dean. It's so coveted. Who wouldn't want to work for Jimmy Dean Sausage?
I mean, that was my first thought was...
Here's the thing at Jimmy Dean Sausage. There are no bad ideas.
Jimmy Dean Sausage, where our motto is, sure, we can do that.
Yeah, we can do that. Why not? We're Jimmy Dean Sausage.
Well, Jimmy Dean Sausage, we'll do whatever the hell we want. You submit your recipe for the gift exchange. All submissions will be accepted now through December 11th or while supplies last. So, I mean,
I'm reading this. Okay, so you do get something.
Like, yeah, you just show them something you made with Jimmy Dean sausage, and they will send you one of these trinkets, these holiday trinkets.
Okay. Done and done.
I know, right? I use Jimmy Dean sausage in my stuffing. Thanksgiving's a week away. I can't decide which thing I hope they send me. I don't think you get to pick.
Probably not.
I think they just send you what they send you, right? Oh, no. It says, sorry, friends. All the gifts are currently out of stock.
Ah!
Boy, that didn't take long.
Well, it's a very popular show.
Everything's gone. They just announced this thing yesterday.
Well...
They just announced this thing yesterday afternoon, Darren.
We had one of each.
Look at that glass-blown ornament. How handsome would that look on your...
It's a family tradition.
On your tree. You know, it's not Christmas until we hang the mouth-blown sausage. This is a scam. There's no way they got all the submissions in a day. We got played. Don't tell us it goes till December 11th when you're already out of all of your stuff.
Are you trying to say that things aren't on the up and up here at Jimmy Dean Sausage?
That's exactly what I'm saying, Darren. We just spent all this time talking about Jimmy Dean Sausage. We got played. And I go to look to see what's still available. Everything's gone. Well, maybe next year.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That's going to do it for this installment of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things.
It was brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. They've got two locations, Tech Drive in Milan, and then also the location in Galesburg on West Main Street. Milan, they are open 7 days a week. Galesburg is open weekdays and Saturdays. The Milan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only. And the recreational waiting list, those are available. Always a good idea to reserve your time by going to the website, ntillinois.com.
Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, representing. This is for the Quad Cities reppin' spot. Dabbing board, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Well, it was fun. I'm going to go take a nap now, and then I think I'm going to call some hospitals.